Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Lauren.
I'm Felicia.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff.
Yes, we do. We're back this week. We're going to see what each other's topics are. Mine is a little relevant. I'm like thinking about the timeline of when this will come out. But hopefully a lot of people have seen Cocaine Bear and it'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. When does it come out?
It's already out.
Oh my God, I'm so behind. I still haven't
seen it. You're fine. Oh my gosh. I was just going to ask you if you'd seen it. I was going to say that would be great for recommendations. Not yet.
Nope. I haven't seen a damn thing, Lauren. except for reruns of Grey's Anatomy.
That's amazing. Honestly, I think that's all we need in the world.
Yeah. But have you seen
Cocaine Bear? I have a couple. This is the embarrassing part of this podcast. No, I haven't.
No, I think this – so you wanted to do the research before you saw the movie. I think that just like yes. You want to read the book before you see the film adaptation.
I'm going to say yes to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
See how accurate it is, right?
Yeah. Tell me your recommendations.
My most like relevant to horror things, we watched a thriller movie that just hit Netflix. It actually came out in 2019 though. We looked it up. It's called – I See You with Helen Hunt. You've probably been offered it.
I think I saw it when it came out. I think I reviewed it. Is that with the girl? God. And she's like blind. Wait.
No.
Oh, it's not the. No. Not Hush. And Hush, she's deaf. Maybe it's. Oh, no. I'm thinking of See For Me. See For Me. Okay. What is yours? What is this one? I'm sorry.
I See You is I don't want to give too much away. It's a thriller. It's on Netflix. There's like a lot of really good shots. I feel like we haven't seen Helen Hunt in a long time, which is just like fun to see her. There's a really creepy like frog mask in it.
Ooh.
And just sort That's of exciting. Yeah. I don't want to give too much away. So I won't give too much, but it's really interesting and scary. I did fall asleep in parts, but I don't think there's anything I get through nowadays. I really don't.
I feel that.
And I did. Oh, my God. Yeah. No, you go.
I was just saying, I took a nap today and I had this like crazy experience that so I turned off Grey's Anatomy. I said, I'm sick, by the way. So I was like, I need to take a nap. I fell asleep. And when I woke up, I had this memory of like when you're in your childhood home and you're waking up from a nap and like, on the couch and like your mom's in the kitchen be like, okay, if you need to come help me with this, like wake up, Felicia, come to dinner, something. And like I got that just feeling of like, everything's so easy right now. I just have to go get my dinner. And then I woke up and I said, no, not this life again.
That is honestly devastating to wake up from.
I know, but it was kind of a magical moment. I was like, oh, wow, that was like such a like visceral memory.
Oh, that is beautiful. When all you had to worry about was like walking to the table.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God. So my recommendation for this week is take a nostalgia nap.
I love it. That's what we all need. That's all I saw. I think that's a great recommendation.
Thank you.
Oh, I was going to say too, I saw the new episode of Yellow Jackets as well. I'm sure you haven't seen yet, right? Yes.
No, but I freaking loved it the first season, so I got to watch it.
It's so good.
How did I watch it last time? It's on Showtime, right?
Yes. I don't know about you. We like – yes, that's exactly what I think we ended up doing was we like waited until it was all out, and then we did like a free week trial and
I think that's what I did. Yeah.
But yeah, James was really committed, so he just paid for Showtime for the month. So
gotta do what you gotta
do. I was like, wow. I know.
That's how good that show is.
It really is so good. And Juliette Lewis is so flipping crazy. I love her.
Incredible. Incredible.
She's just unhinged. There's this like one part where she's like, you know, because she was kidnapped at the end of the last season. So she's like strapped in.
Oh my God, right.
Is like struggling and her legs are like she looks like a gymnast. Like she's literally all over the place. And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
What is going on? Like, are you just showing off that you're flexible?
I cannot wait to see that. I'm so excited.
I know. I think we all, like, every time I see her, I'm like, I wish I was like a little bit more Juliette Lewis in my life.
She's so cool. Oh, she's so cool. And she was like in a punk band like back in the day. Or I think she's still in a band. She's like, yeah, she's like,
I want to say it's her. It's not her band that did the theme song, right? I think I looked this up last time.
That would be insane. But I don't think so. I think I would know that. Actually, I probably
think so too. Anything. Yes, you do. I will say too, very quickly, we went to, this is just because it's, I was thinking about crazy, I don't know, craziness. We went to this Oddities Expo yesterday in Dallas. And it was so fun. But I like, okay, if you had asked me before this, I would have said like, no, of course, like I don't like taxidermy. No, of course, like I don't like weird like animal skeletons and things. Mm-hmm. Like that's so weird. There was this like artist, I can't even describe it, that had mice skeletons doing like menial tasks, just like a mouse skeleton, like in a little mouse kitchen, like doing mouse kitchen things.
Was it taxidermy or just the skeleton?
Just the skeleton.
Oh, interesting. Because I've seen like the little taxidermy mice that are like dressed up in little cute outfits. And like, honestly, I really like those. I know it's dark, but I like them. But just the skeleton.
Just the skeleton. And then for some reason, this is even more specific. I was loving, they had all these mouse skeletons that had wings like fairies.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that.
I don't know what it was, but I was like James is like, is this like a whole new part of your personality that you're discovering? I was like, I think so.
Oh, I love that. I love the, right? I mean, I love it, but I mean, I hate it in certain ways, but I also love it in other ways.
Agreed. And then I found out so much, I feel like, but apparently like people aren't allowed to do taxidermy bats anymore because it was such of a thing, like such a thing that like they, I don't know if it was like PETA or whoever was like, hey, you can't do this. And that you can't, like, it's not okay to like make taxidermy bats anymore.
I wonder if people were like killing the bats to do the taxidermy.
I think so. It was like too
big of a
thing.
Which is very upsetting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we did see there were a couple things that took it too far. Like there was a literal like baby kitten taxidermy that I was like, oof, yeah, I don't like this.
I don't think I could take that. I don't think I could take that.
I was out.
Especially and then they had with little Toby next to me.
I know. He's kind of cat sized.
God.
But they also had that weird, like, I hate this thing. They had like people like hung up by hooks, like as like a freak show. Act. I hate that.
I'm
just like, why are we doing this?
It doesn't matter. There's some people that do that on the internet, and I'm just like, don't do that.
Why is that fun?
I don't know. It's like I think it's a sex thing.
It's like a kinky thing. But then like in public at an Oddities Expo, I was like, I just don't want to see this. It's upsetting.
I'm just like, how does someone figure out they can do that?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. You drink a lot of water? What do you need?
I don't know. It's not for us.
No. We're never going to be part of the Hellraiser.
It's awesome that they had that.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
No. They had like some two-headed cows taxidermy. I don't know. It's like not entirely for me, but there were parts that I found delightful. Mm-hmm.
Love it. That's great.
Anyway, I should dive into my story.
Yes, because I'm telling you, I have nothing to recommend to you. Other than a nap.
I think it's beautiful. Maybe we're going to do like life recommendations sometimes.
Yeah, that's good. I recommend a bowl of pasta and a little glass of wine and a nice nappy nap.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Amazing. Okay, well, as I hinted, so I'm actually going to do two stories this week, which might mean that it's one full episode. We'll see how this goes. But I'm going to start out with the true story behind Cocaine Bear. So,
thank God, because honestly, I'm dying to know it. I can't wait.
Yes, I felt like it was helpful. So the actual Cocaine Bear was nicknamed Pablo Escobar, which is hilarious.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
I know. Or people called him Cokie the Bear or Snow Bear. So he was a real-life 175 American black bear who fatally overdosed on cocaine back in 1985. It's honestly, yeah. I'll get into it a little bit more. I was going to say, both of my stories are honestly, I'm team bear, like mostly.
Okay.
So on September 11th, apparently a very sad day for everyone. In 1985, former Lexington Police Department narcotics officer, who was now a smuggler, a drug smuggler. His name was Andrew C. Thornton II. So he was trafficking cocaine from Colombia into the U.S. He had like another accomplice with him, and they dropped a shipment in Blairsville, Georgia, and then they hopped back on their little plane for their next stop. And for some reason during the flight, and we'll talk about this, they ended up dropping a load of 40 plastic containers of cocaine into the forest before abandoning their plane in Knoxville, Tennessee. So this is really sad, but Andrew Thornton was actually killed instantly because his parachute failed to open.
Oh, man.
Which, like, it's just, like, so crazy to me that we use parachutes when things like this happen. Like, I'm like, isn't there some better technology? I mean, I'm sure it's better than it was in 1985. But I did do, like, a little research into this man. And he was actually a prominent Kentucky horse breeder, interestingly enough, before he moved over to become an expert paratrooper for the U.S. Army. And he even earned a Purple Heart when the U.S. invaded the Dominican Republic in 1965. So it's very odd to me that he had trouble with his parachute, because that was like part of his job in the Army. Like, he was experienced at it. So according to the FBI, they dumped the cargo because the load of the two men, in addition to the amount of cocaine, was just like too heavy for the plane to support. So I guess like they couldn't get it high enough into the air and decided that they had to drop the cocaine. And then another kind of like working theory that people have on the internet is that maybe Andrew Thornton thought that like the feds were trailing him. And so they decided to like get rid of the cocaine and then basically like keep some of the stash, dump some of the stash, and take some with them when they parachuted out and drop some. So Thornton, as I said, was found dead in Knoxville, Tennessee. So this is also just like some details, but he was wearing Gucci loafers and had roughly $15 million worth of cocaine strapped to his body.
Holy shit.
Yep.
That's crazy.
He was a wealthy man.
The 80s were wild.
The 80s were wild. So no one knew about this like extra dropping of cocaine, and nobody, you know, obviously knew about the bear or anything else until 4 months after this. So the New York Times reported in December of 1985, so that was, you know, about 3-4 months after, that the black bear was found dead in the Chattahoochee National Forest, and as I said, died of an overdose of cocaine. So he was found amongst those 40 plastic containers with traces of cocaine. And also, very sadly, he'd been dead for about a month when they found him.
Mm.
So more just like proof that shit goes down in national forests and nobody knows.
Yeah, seriously.
But Dr. Kenneth Alonzo, who was Georgia's chief medical examiner at the time, he did an autopsy on the bear and he found 3 or 4 grams of cocaine in its bloodstream, although it's likely that the bear actually consumed even more. There were, again, rumors rumors going around that he did eat all 40 containers worth of cocaine, which would be about 35 pounds, which is insane.
I can't imagine that the bear would taste something like that and think it's food.
Right?
That's so confusing. Yeah. Maybe it was starving. I don't know.
I mean, it does like – it is like an interesting concept in general because – so people think that what actually happened is that some humans found some of the cocaine and took some of it, and then he just like consumed the rest of what was there. But like overall, there hasn't been a lot of research into like what cocaine does to animals, or even just like we don't even really know like what alcohol does to animals or marijuana. Right. Like there's like not like a ton of knowledge around like whether animals like experience a high like us. Cause I think you don't really know, you know, like I don't think people really know how they could like you can't obviously talk to an animal and be like, how are you feeling?
What's the experience? Yeah.
Exactly. Wow.
That's wild.
So animals will, like, we do know that, like, they get, you know, sleepy after sipping alcohol, or, like, there is, I thought this was interesting too, there has been, like, some findings around, like, reindeer consuming mushrooms, like,
oh, like, no way,
acting crazy after, yeah, acting crazy after consuming mushrooms. But, like, we don't really know if, like, animals will, you know, lick cocaine and then be like, ooh, I want, like, more of that, like humans.
Interesting.
So
yeah,
it's all a little interesting. The sad part is, like, that's pretty much all we know about the cocaine bear. Like, there's no murders.
How'd they make that into a whole movie?
I know. So there's no murders or limbs. So the, you know, the screenwriter of the film, whose name is Jimmy Warden, said that the film's, like, you know, not historical fiction. It's just, like, what he wished happened after the bear did all that cocaine.
Okay. Yeah. I see.
And then Elizabeth Banks, who is the director of the movie, signed on to direct just because she thought it was, like, the opportunity to give the bear, like, a point of view. And she felt really sad after, like, knowing the true story. And she said, the quote is actually, I really felt like this is so fucked up that this bear got dragged into this drug run, gone bad, and ends up dead. I felt like this movie could be that bear's revenge story, which I kind of love.
Yeah, it's a little better perspective, I guess.
Yeah. But it's really, like, you know, overall less of a story about, like, a drugged animal going crazy in real life, and definitely more so just, like, how humans trash and nonsense, like, puts animals into danger.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
All the time. And so I decided, after learning about the sad truth of, you know, the cocaine bear story, I was like, well, I'm sure, you know, mostly it was me thinking back to Travis the chimp and, like, animals going crazy. Like, I
that was such a sad one.
It was a really sad one and dark one. And, you know, I still think, I mean, we've said that, right? Like, Nope is Travis the chimp, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think, like, there's definitely, like, this interesting, you know, unexplored, or maybe not unexplored. I think, like, I love that we can include topics on our podcast that are animals gone wild. And so I wanted to look a little bit more into that and bear attacks and, like, how often is that a thing? And, like, we had bears in my neighborhood growing up. I don't know if, like, I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know. Is that a thing in Maryland ever? Yeah. What about North Carolina? Gotta be, right? I don't know.
Probably more bears in North Carolina. I don't know. We had just a lot of deer, I feel. Not a lot of bears, though.
Yeah. And even to this day, like, my parents will call me and be like, you know, there are bears back on the street, or, like, they see, like, mamas with baby bears all the time. Like, it's pretty crazy. So I'm going to talk about one of, like, the – and this is – I will say, like, this is a relatively recent story. There is – you know, there are death. There is death of teenage women. And so if that is bothersome to you, this is kind of a dark one in those ways.
Mm, okay.
So it was – because I know sometimes we do, like, more spooky or supernatural, and this is just, like – it was just –
crime.
Just death. So
it's bad.
The summer of 1967, there were these two women. They're both 19 years old, both working at the Glacier National Park in Montana. So again, like, to me, a very appropriate place for there to be bears. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So they were going kind of on separate, you know, they didn't know each other or anything. It was, like, separate overnight backpacking trips with their friends on August 12th. Unknown to them, there had been grizzlies around, like, spotted near lodges and campsites, and they were, you know, attracted to mostly, it seems like, and I'll again go into more of this later, but there weren't really, like, the same safety precautions at national parks as there are now. So there was, like, a lot of food left behind by tourists. People weren't great about cleaning out their campsites. So there were also some, like, bad forest fires that were driving the bears into areas populated by humans. Mm-hmm. So Julie Helgeson was one of the girls. And so she was from Albert Lea, Minnesota. She came to work. This is actually, like, a sad summer job to me, but she came to work in the laundry room at the East Glacier Park Lodge. So she and her friend named Roy Ducat arrived at their site. So they were backpacking. They arrived at their campsite at about 7 p.m. and they ate their dinners. They watched the sunset and they had decided, again, not for me, not a big camper, but they decided to sleep under the stars.
So Lauren would never.
I would never. I would be in, you know, zipped fully into my tent. But Julie and Roy woke up right before dawn and they were woken by a large grizzly bear sniffing at their sleeping bags.
Oh my God. So,
I know. So Roy would later tell investigators that Julie had actually seen the bear and woke him up by saying, like, hey, play dead. And so they were, like, you know, staying as still as possible. And one of and the grizzly bear knocked the pair out of their sleeping bags, sunk his teeth and claws into both of them. And this is really sad. The bear dragged Julie about 100 yards away, and she was screaming for help the whole time. And Roy's arm was badly mangled, so he kind of like ran off to go try to find help and wake the other campers that were nearby. And a helicopter with medical supplies arrived. But basically, like, because people were so freaked out by this bear, the ranger kind of leading it was really cautious. And so it held up this search party because they were like worried about other people getting hurt. And so this is also really sad. But nearly 2 hours passed before a group left to go try to find Julie or save Julie.
Oh my God. That is fucked. I know. Up. 2 hours? I mean, obviously she's dead.
Yeah. I don't
know. Nobody wants to help her. Like,
I know if you're like, if your arm is like bleeding and you're mangled, I'm like, maybe you wouldn't, but I'm like, the other campers, wouldn't somebody like
somebody help her?
It's very upsetting to me. So Roy was taken to the hospital, and then a ranger with a rifle led a group to go, you know, follow, this is dark too, follow like the blood trail to go find her. Get ready for this. 2 hours later, she was just badly wounded.
No way.
So they found her. Yes. Very sad. They found her, carried her back to the cottage. A helicopter arrived to take her to the hospital. And she had reached the cottage by 3:45 a.m., but died soon after that, minutes before the helicopter got to her.
Ugh,
and so she unfortunately died before the rescue hospital, you know, before the rescue team was able to get her to the hospital, which is just so sad.
It is so sad.
So other 19-year-old backpacking girl. It is also very weird to me that they were the same age and going on separate.
This is a separate story.
Trips. Yes. This is a new separate story.
Oh my God.
Same area. Like, oh, same. Geez.
Not but going like to Montana.
Seemingly different bears. It's very weird. So, I mean, yes, different bears. I don't know why I said that. They were confirmed different bears.
Yeah.
Okay. So Michelle Coons was from San Diego. She was working at the park as a gift shop saleswoman during that summer. Her group that she went on this backpacking trip with was Paul Dunn, Ray Nozak, Ron Nozak, they were brothers, and Denise Huckle, and then, you know, we love it or hate it, but Michelle's dog Squirt was also on the backpacking trip.
Squirt.
So.
I'm scared. I'm scared already.
I'm scared for Squirt too. So on their way to the site, they ran into a group of people. This also kills me. Like, I don't know. I'm always on the hunt for moments in my life where I'm like, someone is warning me not to do a thing. Maybe I shouldn't do the thing. But on their way to the site, they ran into a group coming basically like the other direction who said, we saw a bear in the area. And when they got to the site, the campsite, they kept going. When they got to the campsite, a bear showed up pretty quickly. Mm. So their camp was raided by a bear as they cooked dinner. But they like ran away and thought that like everything was okay with the bear now. And so they just moved down a little bit onto the beach to go to sleep. I'm just like, that's where I'd be out. If you see a bear.
Absolutely, I'd be out of there.
You're not spending the night. So the bear returned by about 4:30 a.m. and Denise woke up to the bear sniffing her bag. So she laid very still it kept going around, like checking out the other sleeping bags. And then the bear approached Michelle and she woke up and screamed. Basically, this is also just, you know, again, like not judging anyone, but all four of the friends besides Michelle, like jumped out of their sleeping bags. One had the dog, Squirt, with them, carried Squirt, climbed up into trees to get away from the bear. Paul said that he yelled for Michelle to climb a tree, but it was too late. So she yelled that her zipper was stuck and the bear bit off her arm.
My God.
Can you imagine your friends just leaving you? But then I'm like, I don't know what they were supposed to do.
Help with the zipper. I don't know. Okay, we're never going camping because I can't be put in this position.
No, I can't either. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, and then I was like, oh my God, they grabbed the dog, but they didn't grab their friend. And then I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what I would do.
Well, the dog is probably easier to carry. I mean, I would have to take Toby. I would grab Toby for sure.
Oh, Toby, yeah. I mean,
did you hear that?
It's like, come on. Toby's easy to grab too. Buddy. He's light.
Yeah, he's so small.
So they try to yell and scare the bear off from the trees. But just says, I also did not know this was like a pattern, but Michelle was dragged away by the bear as well. The friends stayed in the tree. This also, again, is not a great look, for more than 2 hours. Stayed up in the trees for 2 hours. And then at dawn, they came down and ran for the nearest ranger station, asked for help, went and looked for Michelle. And they found Michelle's body about 100 yards from the campsite. And she had died from her injuries before anyone got to her.
So are really these bears eating the people or just attacking?
So we'll get into this a little bit. So obviously the victims are the saddest part of this story. You know, that is a horrible situation.
Horrifying.
The park, you know, did not handle things as they should. They did end up like hunting down these bears and killing them. And they did find, when they were, you know, going after these bears, the bear that mauled Michelle in particular was very small and definitely starving. And really sad. They found shards of glass in its gums from like it previously going through like humans' trash, getting it stuck in its mouth, food. And then not being able to eat. Because the glass was like in its mouth. So eating became like painful for the bear. And
this
so
is terrible.
It's really sad. And so they did do an autopsy on this bear. They did find human remains inside. There was even an article that I saw that literally said like a clump of blonde hair, which is really gross. So they know that like this bear killed Michelle. Clearly was, you know, starving. It doesn't seem like they consumed, you know, the people whole by any means. Like, I think they did unfortunately find parts of each of their bodies, but I think it was definitely a driving factor to get food. Then at Julie's site, the first victim that I spoke about, so the rangers actually ended up killing 3 bears, including the mom of two baby bears. And so this is really sad. So when they were shooting at the bears, one of the rangers like missed and hit a cub and broke the cub's jaw, but it like it lived and survived. And so miraculously, both of those cubs survived through the winter, even without their mom. But unfortunately, like they never identified if any of those bears that they shot actually killed Julie. So they don't even really know, like, if those were the right bears that they were shooting at.
This is, like, so upsetting because it's, like, there's no villain because you just feel bad for everybody.
Everybody.
Like, you feel bad for the people, you feel bad for the bears. Yeah.
And I was going to say, like, I feel bad because I obviously, like, have never been in a situation like this and I'm sure you go into survival mode. So I'm also like, what if that was your friend and then you just, like, live the rest of your life knowing that
you didn't help them.
You didn't help them
or whatever.
You couldn't help them. Yeah. It's really sad. So they, you know, as I said, tried to kill the bears. They weren't really sure. The really fucked up part is there was literally advertising for the national park saying, like, come see our grizzly bears before this attack. Yeah.
No, please don't. Please don't come see our grizzly bears.
I just think, I guess us in the 1980s, like, we just didn't understand that they were this dangerous. And so it was also, like, a stormy evening. There was a lot of lightning and thunder that could have, you know, unsettled the bears. And it just ultimately seems like it was just, like, poor park management. But the kind of interesting thing, you know, I would think that this is, like, enough, like, media and attention and everything else to change park policies. But it really seems like it was also kind of, like, egged on or enhanced because there was a book that was written in 1969 called Night of the Grizzlies by Jack Olson. And that seems to be, like, another, like, big push towards changing policy at national parks. And so that specific national park, they definitely made changes. The rangers, after this attack, cleaned up all of those areas of, you know, campsite trash. They created policies so that campers were no longer allowed to feed the animals, which is horrifying that people were feeding bears at any time. And that you were also, you know, after you left the campsite, you were required to, like, remove your own trash. Mm-hmm. And parks had to, you know, close campsites and trails and, like, better track when bears were spotted so that people wouldn't go to those areas anymore.
Yeah.
And totally. They also, like, released all this education about how to better stay safe in bear country and just, like, stay more alert and better pay attention to all of that. But it's really just, like, the – and, I just can't imagine what the news was like at that time. The same night, two 19-year-old girls were killed by grizzly bears. It's just, like, so horrifying and upsetting.
That is mind-blowing.
And just another story of, like, nature taking back or fighting back or anything absolutely. Else.
Man, that's brutal.
I know. I started out with, like, oh, cocaine bear will be a fun story. And then I was like, damn. Yeah,
it's just so dark. It's so dark. You did a good job. That's thank really you. Wild. Okay, cool. So today I'm talking about a cursed, potentially cursed or haunted object.
Ooh.
It's one of those ones.
We haven't done one of those in a while.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that I'm like, is this – I'm a little skeptical about, but it's got some cool history, so I'll give it to you. So this is the haunted mirror – of Bela Lugosi. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. So, if you don't know, Bela Lugosi is most famous for playing Dracula in the Universal horror films of Dracula and a lot of other horror films from the 1930s to the mid-1950s. So, Bela Lugosi's a stage name. So, his name is Bela Ferenc Dezo Blasco, and he's Hungarian, and he did a lot of theater shows in Hungary for many years before eventually ending up in New York, and he starred in the Broadway adaptation of Dracula in 1927, playing Count Dracula. I don't know if you knew that, but
didn't know that at all.
Yeah, so that's, he, like, played such Dracula. Before the movies even came out. And when he was doing that on Broadway, he, like, barely spoke English. Like, he just memorized the text. And then when it got to the Universal picture in the 1931, I guess. Yeah, he was so famous for playing Dracula in the theater that they gave it to him.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I feel like I didn't know any, like, I feel like we always love when the theater actor gets to play
in the movie. I know.
But it's so I'm sure it was so different at that time. But still, that it was, like, enough of a hit on Broadway and he didn't even know English. Like, he was just.
I know. Yeah, it's wild.
I mean, he does have an amazing presence.
and he absolutely does. Yeah. Yeah, he's just he's very, very striking. And even like his voice, everything about him is just he became what we understand as Dracula from then on. And like, and even he had I think I've read before, like he had a hard time doing things that weren't horror films after that. Like he was just very typecast as like in horror movies. But I'm like, he's done a great career. And he was eventually, when he died, he was buried with his Dracula cape. That's just like a fun little.
Aww, yeah. I didn't know that either. I love that.
Yeah. But anyway, so this. Okay, so I found, I was looking up haunted mirrors because I felt like there would be some.
I agree.
And I found an episode of Zach Baggins. I mean, here we are again. Here we are again with Zach Baggins. Oh, God.
Will he ever be a guest on our podcast?
maybe. I don't
know. Do we want that? I don't know.
I don't know. But Zach Baggins, so obviously he's got his haunted museum, and he had this, he's had multiple shows now, but the one show, I think it's called Deadly Possessions. And on that episode is he is acquiring this mirror. And yeah, so apparently.
I actually don't think I've ever watched that show anyway.
It's, well, the version I watched was truly hilarious because, so to put it on YouTube, you know, which is illegal, this person had to flip it so it's mirrored, so the film, so the footage is like mirrored, which it's just flipped, it's fine, and then they pitched the entire audio down, so Zach Baggin's voice, it just sounds like this.
What?
It's so funny. So I just had to watch the whole episode like that. But it's just so it wouldn't get flagged for copyright and taken down.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. It's funny.
But anyway, so apparently Bela Lugosi was interested in the occult and spiritualism and those kinds of things that were also just very popular in the time that he was in America. He was a member of, ooh, I hope I say this right, the Rosicrucian Order, which is a, it's not really a church, but it's like a community. It's on their website. They still exist. And it's called, they call themselves a community of mystics who study and practice the metaphysical laws governing the universe. It was founded in 1915 and Bela Lugosi was a member. And it's based on like a spiritual movement in Europe from like the early 17th century. And yeah, but it's basically like, it's like, it's like spiritualism, mysticism kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, I always feel so interested, and this goes for like modern actors too, where it's like, which came first? Like, was he cast as Dracula and then he's like, ooh, now I kind of have an interest in this, you know what I mean? Or is it like,
I have no
you
idea.
Always have an interest in that, which makes you feel like you want to be Dracula more? I don't know.
Good question. I have no idea. But yeah, so after, so he had this mirror in his house, and there's not much about the mirror. There's not really anything about the mirror until after his death. So when he died, the person that bought the house was this kind of like B-movie film producer named Frank Seletri. And when he moved into the house, the mirror like came with the house. It was on the wall. And Frank, I guess, had some mob ties of sorts and was killed in a mob style murder, which I won't go into detail, but I guess had to do with the screwdriver. It was very, very horrifying.
Oh my God, a screwdriver?
I know. It's very, very dark. But so was murdered in the house in 1982, and the mirror saw it happen.
Just like so, Oculus.
Just like Oculus. Oh man, that's, man, that movie, fire.
It's good.
It's so good. It's holds very up scary. Well. Okay, so his daughter, or no, sorry, my bad, his niece, Cindy, became in possession of the mirror at a certain point. And as soon as she brought it into her house, she started, her family started noticing scary things about the mirror. So, for example, It was hanging up in their bathroom. Her daughter was like curling her hair and she could see the reflection in the mirror, and she thought, she felt that she saw a hand come out of the mirror and grab her. Not good. Not good.
Not good.
The other family members said they saw like a scary face in the mirror, and they started to wonder whether it's like whether it was cursed while being in Bela Lugosi's house, or whether something to do with the murder of their uncle had to do with like the mirror being cursed. So it got to the point that one of the daughters felt bite marks on the back of her neck, and she had all these marks there. It's pretty standard haunted objects. But it's just, it's horrible. And so they got to a point where they felt like they needed to get rid of it. Intimate. Yeah. So it got to a point that they felt like they really needed to get rid of this mirror. And so they brought it to Zach Bagans, and they were like, we don't feel good about giving it to someone. We don't want to sell it. Do you want it? And so he's like, obviously, yes, thank you. So he interviews them, and he only ends up talking to the mom, who's the niece of the mob guy, and one of the daughter that had the most trauma from the mirror, like didn't want to come on the show. And I think apparently she's like had to seek some help for like whatever mental stuff the mirror has kind of put her through. So I think she's had a very hard time, which is very sad.
That is sad. And also, like, goes against, I don't know, I feel like we always are like, oh, people, like, make up this stuff to, like, get attention or, like.
And then it's like they don't even want to come on camera. It's like, okay. Then it's, I don't know, it feels a little more real.
More real.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and then Zach Bagans, he did some experiments with the mirror, and the first thing that happened in the episode is about 12 hours after they brought the mirror into the museum, the whole basement like flooded where it was, which had never happened before. Love that. And then he also did an experiment with a guy just looking into the mirror. And it's this guy that I guess like, I don't know if he like identifies as a vampire. I wasn't very clear on this part, but he looked into the mirror. And his girlfriend was, like, standing near him. And at some point, he looked at himself in the mirror, and he looked at his girlfriend. He looked back in the mirror, and then he, like, fell and, like, hit his head and was, like, unconscious.
Oh, my God. So,
yeah, so that's not good. And so now it's hanging right now in the Zach Bagans Museum. And he has it covered up with, some fabric. I think you are allowed to look into it if you really want to, but he has it covered up, and he has this like the top hat of Bela Lugosi like on top of it, and like a picture of Bela Lugosi and all this stuff. And so what Zach Bagans proposes in this episode is that Bela Lugosi had potentially used the mirror in some of his experiments with the occult, and when he died left the space vulnerable to whatever he had opened the mirror up to. And then when a murder occurred in front of the mirror, it like allowed for a dark entity to come into the mirror is kind of his, theory.
Whoa. That's really intense.
Yeah. So like, this is one of those stories that's like, I don't really know if I buy all of it or not, but I think it's cool that I found out Bela Lugosi was like into the occult and stuff, and like, and I wouldn't have known any of that, so it was like worth researching for sure. But it's when I was watching the episode, and maybe it's because I was watching it with all their voices pitched down, but I was just like,
yes,
is this real? I don't know. And he's so dramatic that sometimes I feel like it takes away from the authenticity sometimes, where I'm like, if it was like less spooky edited, I feel like I would almost buy it more, but,
I totally agree with you.
I'm not producing.
I know. It's hard. It's hard with him sometimes, where I'm like, I do think genuinely some of the stuff is spooky and crazy stories. Oh, yeah. And what you shared about the mirror, like a lot of that is like very scary. But Yeah, Zach Baggins makes it a little over the top.
I'm a theater kid myself, but he's a little too theatrical at times.
I agree. I'm with you. Yeah.
And that's it. That's Bela Lugosi's Haunted Mirror.
Woo. I love it. Yeah. I love a haunted item. And I feel like
me too.
Exactly as you do. I love learning about Bela Lugosi.
Me too. Me too. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening to this grisly and haunted episode.
Yes. I was trying to make some, like, you know, I don't know. It's not the Wolfman, so it really doesn't work. But
yeah. I guess there's not a lot of horror films about bears.
Yeah, not really. But yeah. Anyway, thank you all for listening. We hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares.
Bye.